Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Yo, si helele mama, helele. Yo, si helele mama, helele. Yo, si helele mama.
Alright, beautiful people, particularly my beautiful Africans, welcome to your ultimate Afro magazine show on Radio Africa Weekly, live on Radio Africana with your man, your brother, Chris Okunua. It's always a delight to be back on this platform and on this show to talk Africa, to savour the uniqueness of being African. Right, just so you know, particularly if you are debuting, I mean, if this is your first time on this show with us, we do nothing but to talk about Africa, we profile Africa in the right way, in the right perspective, the true African stories, the true African narrative is what we give you on this show and on this dial. We always start with the entertainment, beg your pardon, we start with the news and current affairs. We always look to bring out, you know, bring you up to speed with happenings around motherland, talking the continent of Africa. And there's this segment that comes after that, which is the culture and tourism segment, because we are promoting culture, tourism, and also showcasing the beauty of Africa, the land and its people and its culture. So we talk about culture and tourism on this show as well. On that segment, we look to showcase a particular culture in Africa and what you can enjoy when you visit such place or people. And of course, we talk entertainment, you know, Africans are contributing, not just Africans, Africa as a continent is contributing greatly to the entertainment world. So we talk about entertainment also on this show, and then we conclude with the sports segment. Of course, you know the role, the contribution as well of the exploit of Africans in sport. And you know what, the AFCON 2020 U20s is just around the corner, and the World Cup draw has been made as well. We're going to take a look at the chances of African teams. Sadly, Nigeria won't be at the tournament yet, but there are some other African countries that will be competing at the biggest football tournament come next year in the United States of America, Canada, and Mexico. Yeah, so that's going to be the last segment, the sports segment. Not right. We are not ending in, we've not even started yet. So stick around, get set to enjoy every bit of the show. Right, we're starting from South Africa, and it's rather a sad note. Yeah, the news we woke up to this morning is that at least 11 people have been killed in a mass shooting at a hostel in South Africa. 14 others were wounded when gunmen stormed the venue in Suzwi Township, west of the capital, Pretoria, early today. A three-year-old is among the dead. God. At least three unknown gunmen entered this hostel where a group of people were drinking, and they started randomly shooting. Police spokesperson Brigadier Adnanda Matei said, "The motive of the shooting is unknown and no arrests have been made. It is the latest in a string of mass shootings that have rocked the crime-ridden countries. The crime-ridden country in recent years. The gunmen reportedly entered the premise at 4:30 a.m. That's a local time, and opened fire on a group of men who were drinking. A 12-year-old boy and a 16-year-old girl were also among those killed in this gruesome, heinous attack." Wow. That's coming from South Africa. Indeed, we must say it as it is. South Africa, indeed, for a long time, for years and decades, has been characterized by news of killings, crimes. Yeah, so if some news outlet put it out like South Africa, crime-ridden country, you definitely do not want to fault them that much, because the rate of killings in South Africa is just so alarming. And I don't believe the authority under the leadership, the president Cyril Ramaphosa, definitely are working round the clock to ensure that South Africa is a place, is a safe country. But there's still a lot of work that needed to be done to bring the crime rate in South Africa under control. Man, who does that? Like some of my friends will say, why were you going to a space in hostel and shoot sporadically or randomly and kill almost everyone that you sight, including I think a 2 or 4 year old girl, a 16 year old boy, girl, and also a 9 year old? What would I have done to you to warrant that in the first place? It shows how heartless, how evil some people are. And definitely some arrests are expected to be made in the coming hours or days. That's according to a report from South Africa, because the police have responded and they are on the hunt to apprehend those that perpetrated these evil acts. As of now, that's as at the time of this report, we gathered, no arrest has been made yet, but the police are on top of it and trying to hunt and arrest those who were involved in this heinous attack. Nothing we can say here than to say, may the soul of those killed in this attack rest in peace, it's not a case of crisis, it's not a case of ongoing crisis or war, anything or unrest. It's just people hanging out in the morning, having good time, and they have their life cut short. Sad one. Right, this time around, we are leaving the continent of Africa as a whole, but we're still talking African here, because I told you this show is all about putting the African story right, regardless of where Africans are. We also talk stories that affect African interests outside of motherland, and this one is coming from the United States of America. Now, Somali Americans in Minnesota have described their heightened fear after U.S. President Donald Trump intensified his criticism of the community this week. Community leaders told the BBC the apprehension is palpable following Trump's remark, in which he said he did not want Somalis in the U.S. and the country will go the wrong way if we keep taking in garbage. That's quoting Donald Trump there, rhetorically referring to people from Somali, describing them as potentially as garbage. That's definitely below the belt from a sitting president of an important country as the US, right? That really caught for concern, really. So, when you are being targeted by the president of the United States, it's not really a good feeling, said A.G. Awid, executive director of the Cedar Riverside Community Council, which represents a town known as Little Mogadishu for its large Somali population. Concern has also intensified because of report that officials have begun an enforcement operation in Minnesota targeting undocumented immigrants. Mr. Award said the council will discuss the risk of holding an annual event scheduled for next week in person because of the operation. Right. So it's some sort of apprehension, fears from the Somali community in USA, particularly in Minnesota, because of the remark, the condescending remark from US President targeting Somalis in the US. So the Somali community, particularly in Minnesota, are living in palpable fear, fear of being targeted by authority, by prosecutors, and one of them has come out to say that is really the case now. His name, A.J. Awid, who is the executive director of the Cedar Riverside Community Council, which represents a town known as Little Mogadishu, obviously because of the huge Somali population in the area. Of course, Mogadishu, the capital city of Somalia. I don't know, making a blanket statement and generalizing and stereotyping is not what we should be hearing from a president of the United States of America, not even any president in the world. You don't judge people based on where they are from, based on the color of their skin, based on their religious belief or political affiliation. You need to treat people as an individual. And definitely, this is just one of the things that has drawn a lot of criticism towards the passing of Donald Trump. We wait to see how this will pan out and if this will be resolved. I watched the remarks myself, and I said, come on, this is just below the belt from Donald Trump, and it's needless. Yeah, no country should welcome people that really do not mean well, people that we not integrate properly, people that we disturb the peace, the orderliness, the law of any country, they are not to be welcome. But you don't generalize, okay? You don't generalize. We're talking Donald Trump here. It's been, you know, described as someone that has some sort of phobia for some certain group of people, people of different races, different religion. To his, that's what some people are saying. I'm not saying that is truly the case, but to some, it's not a surprise that this is coming from Donald Trump, because going by his antecedent and his record of making, you know, statement as this, a lot of people are not really surprised, but those who are at the receiving end are not really comfortable with these, and some, many of them are living in fear of being prosecuted, of being hunted. So that's just the downside of it. It's not just about saying things for rhetoric's sake, but there's also this ripple effect that it have on some people. So that's how we should look at it, and that's where we should be looking at it from now. All right, the US is a country of law and order, though, so hopefully the law will prevail and sanity, we also have it way here. Right, I'm still in the United States of America with a lot of African interest. Yeah. Now, the leaders of the Democratic Republic of Congo and Rwanda have signed a peace deal aimed at ending the long-running conflict in the region at a summit hosted by the US President Donald Trump in Washington. However, analysts have pointed out that this was just the endorsement of an agreement reached in June that has failed to end the fighting. Ahead of the summit, there were renewed clashes in resource-rich Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo between government forces and rebels believed to be backed by Rwanda. DR Congo's army accused its rivals of attempting to sabotage the peace process, but the M23 rebels say the army had launched an offensive in breach of a ceasefire. At the start of the year, the M23 seized a large part of eastern DR Congo in an offensive that saw thousands killed and many more forced from their homes. DR Congo's president Felix Tshisekedi and his Rwanda counterpart Paul Kagame have frequently exchanged insults in recent years, each accusing the other of starting the conflict. At a signing ceremony on Thursday, there was no public handshake between the pair, whose body language appeared frosty throughout. But this did little to dampen the US president's rhetoric. At the beginning of the event at the newly renamed Donald J. Trump Institute of Peace, Trump said the peace ceremony was a great day for Africa and the world, later branding it historic. "I have a lot of confidence in both leaders," Trump ended, with journalists noting he had mispronounced the names of both Central African presidents. "We will keep this commitment. I know they are going to keep them and follow through on the agreement and create much brighter future for the people of their country." Trump got the two countries' foreign minister to sign a peace accord in June, hailing it as a glorious triumph. A number of other African leaders also attended a ceremony, including those of Kenya, Angola, Burundi, and Togo, as well as the vice president of Uganda. At an event, Kagame praised Trump as an even-handed leader who is never taking sides. Well, I don't know. Donald Trump is hailing these as historic. But this was agreed. You know, this peace accord was agreed in June. But since then, there's been a lot of fighting on the ground. Little has been achieved in terms of peace and stability. I mean, at least peace. The ceasefire was just for a brief moment. I mean, days or weeks. As a matter of fact, in days or hours leading up to the signing of the deal on Thursday, there were reports of clashes between the DRC armed forces and the M23 rebels, allegedly backed by Rwanda. So, but Donald Trump, who has been a huge factor in this, this is historic, but people are saying that's not really the case on ground. But we hope moving forward, this could be the case. Normalcy, peace could return to eastern region of Democratic Republic of Congo. But the thing a lot of Afrocentric analysts is worrying about is Donald Trump is openly saying it that this will allow the US to have access to some beautiful, some valuable resources of Democratic Republic of Congo. Democratic Republic of Congo is a rich country in terms of natural resources. There's no doubt about it. One of the countries, the most blessed country with natural resources. But Donald Trump has come out to say that this agreement, part of it is the US will have access to DRC mineral resources, and in his words, the US will be rich and everyone will be rich. That's what how he put it. You know, crisis in Africa, Western countries, stakeholder authorities coming in and taking advantage. That has been the long narratives from Afrocentric analysts saying this means for years to come, Africa might not just be able to break off from the shackles of depending on Western powers for the basic of things like, you know, economy, peace, and all of that. This might just be one of, you know, one reason, one thing that could support that notion that the crisis in Africa, other countries outside of the continent profit from crisis and unrest in Africa. But then, it's not going to be possible to achieve any form of development without peace. So I'll say peace first, then the rest can follow. So that's why I'll still say well done to Donald Trump for mediating, for coming in. This crisis has lingered on for too long. Whether it's going to come at the cost of the resources of the country, for now, I'll say the most important thing is stopping the killings and having normalcy restored to DRC. Alright, so we're going to take a pause here, and when we come back, it will be time for us to talk culture and tourism. We have a particular ethnic nationality in Africa we'll be talking about today. We'll be showcasing this particular culture to you after this time out for some music. We'll be starting. The two musicers that we've lined up for this particular break is from South African artist. The first one is coming from Lucky Dube. He called this one Prisoner. Yeah, this is in response or in reference to the issue of crime that were reported in South Africa, the shooting and the killing of 11 people somewhere in Pretoria this morning. So let's listen to this from Lucky Dube. He called it Prisoner just to tell us that crime does not pay in any way or in any form. Lucky Dube himself was a victim of crime because he was killed by car hijackers in South Africa. Oh, sad one. May this off. Lucky Dube continue to rest in peace. Let's enjoy a beautiful composition from this late reggae legend. He called his one Prisoner.
Oh, yeah, me. I call wami alikholana buso wami awukholana ilondolose suhambe nami dawu yami alikholana buso wami awukholana ilondolose
Jerusalem by Master KG. Right before that, we enjoyed A Prisoner from the elite compatriot Lucky Dube. Now, you're welcome back to the show Africa Weekly, live on Radio Africana with your man Chris Okunowa. We bring you nothing but the very best of African stories, yeah? Content from motherland Africa. You know, we entertain, we inform, and we educate as well. Now it's time for us to talk culture and tourism on this show. There's no tourism as well in the world without Africa, because that's where beauty untapped, real natural beauty, you know, that's where you find it in the world. So, like I hinted before the break, I told you that we'll be talking about a particular culture like we always do on this show every Saturday like this. Today we're going to a country in Central Africa, and that's the country called Cameroon. Yeah, and in Cameroon, we'll be talking about their largest ethnic group, I mean, the largest ethnic nationality within Cameroon, and that is the Bamileke ethnic. The Bamileke are the largest ethnic group in Cameroon, known for their strong entrepreneurial spirit, rich artistic traditions, and complex royal institutions. They inhabit the Western High Plateau, a region known as the Grassfield. Now let's talk about their social and political structure. Bamileke society is organized into numerous chiefdoms called fondoms, each led by a revered leader known as a fon, that's the king. The fon is considered the spiritual, political, judicial, and military leader, often believed to have the power to transform into powerful animals, yes, like the elephant or leopard. A council of nine ministers known as the Kanviu assist the fon and oversees the coronation of a new leader. The Bamileke follow a strict patrilineal system where ancestry, inheritance, and succession are traced through the male line. The heir, typically the eldest son, inherits his father's possessions, titles, and land rights, which historically encouraged non-inheriting siblings to seek their own livelihood elsewhere, contributing to their reputation as successful business people and migrants. The culture and traditions of the Bamileke ethnic group of Cameroon. The Bamileke art is renowned. Yeah, the Bamileke art is renowned for its elaborate and colorful beadwork, which is used to adorn wooden sculptures, thrones, and masks to signify status and wealth. The most famous of these are the elephant mask Mbap Menteng, worn by members of the prestigious Kuosi Warrior Society during royal ceremonies, funerals, and important festivals. This mask, featuring large circular ears and long panels serving as trunk, symbolized the king's power and are covered in intricate geometric bead patterns. Let's talk about their religious belief. Talking the Bamileke ethnic nationality in Cameroon. Traditionally, their belief center on ancestor veneration, with the scores of deceased ancestors considered powerful links to the spirit world. The eldest male in the family is responsible for preserving these scores in a special dwelling and offering sacrifices to them. While many Bamileke have converted to Christianity or less commonly Islam, traditional beliefs and practices often persist alongside modern faiths. Yeah, they still combine both. That is the traditional belief and modern faiths such as Christianity and Islam. So the Bamileke people still have a way of infusing both. I mean, modern belief and that of their traditional worship together. Historically, let's talk about their livelihood. Historically, the Bamileke were excellent farmers, with women doing most of the cultivation of staple crops like cocoyams, groundnut, and maize, while men cleared fields and built houses. Today, they play a vital role in Cameroon's economy as professionals, traders, and artisans, and are known for their entrepreneurial spirit and strong work ethic. Right, that's just a brief about the Bamileke people of Cameroon. They are the largest ethnic group in Cameroon. Beautiful stories about these people, how they organize themselves into chiefdoms with a head called the Fon. And then, you know, how the societies were structured. Now let's talk about if you visit their land, things that you could see and be marveled. Now, the Bamileke land in Cameroon West region offers cultural and natural attractions like traditional chiefdoms. That's Banjun Baham Museums. That's there's also Museum of Civilization, showcasing royal artifacts and masks, sacred natural sites, litters the area. This providing a rich blend of history, spiritual sites, and authentic traditions for visitors. So the key cultural attractions are Banjun. So you can go to Cameroon to explore this Musée de Banjun, an art museum within the chiefdom featuring royal accessories and heritage. There's also the Baham. This is for contemporary art and cultural displays, plus natural sites like the Fuvu Cave, and there's also the Fuban. While technically Bamu Fuban is nearby and features a royal palace and museum with rich history, offering insight into the region's dynamics. And the villages experience daily life, traditional architecture, and local customs. In villages like Batufam, Bagam, and Foto Mena. Right, so that's just about the Bamileke tribe of the ethnic group of Cameroon. They are the largest in the country, and you can visit them and enjoy a few things that I've listed about these people, their land, the beautiful people there and their culture as well. We're going to take another pause, and this time we're going to enjoy something from a Cameroonian legendary singer. His name is Malu Dibango. We'll be back after this time out.
Somaloba, obente dalla pugna e somaloba, 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 obente dalla pugna e somaloba, mia mani nuda, to sono loco, moto moto te. Na loco da na moto moto te na momene onyola nika so somaloba somaloba obente da la punya e somaloba 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 obente da la punya e somaloba. Alea. Bela yambi kaena yendu kujalea Yesu. Ya kuma mungida. Yeah.
Welcome back from that one. That's a beautiful composition there from Malu Dibango, a Cameroonian legendary singer. You're welcome back to the show Africa Weekly. Now we are moving on the show. It's just time to talk about to talk entertainment on this show today. We're starting with this one. It's not I wouldn't say news, it's just to, you know, I have a lot of people asking me lately about what we call Dirty December. Yeah, the concept of Dirty December in it's not even peculiar to Nigeria anymore, you know, because some other country in Africa, particularly Ghana, they also have what we call Dirty December as well now. But I've received a lot of, you know, how will I put it now, people asking me about Dirty December. Dirty December, what does it mean in Nigeria? Yeah, just to tell you, Dirty December refers to the festive period at the end of the year in Nigeria, typically from mid-December through the new year. It's the time of vibrant celebrations, social gatherings, parties and festivities, characterized by high energy and excitement. Also, optimism is time where many Nigerians, both within the country and in diaspora, return home to celebrate with family and friends. The term dirty is a corruption of the normal word for dirty, when something is not clean or stained or whatever, implying festivity and celebration with no restraint during the Christmas and holiday season. I mean, I'll break it down for that. The name itself means something that is going, we're gonna get dirty. When you hear that in Nigeria, or maybe in some part of West Africa or other countries in Africa that is now flowing with its trend of Dirty December, it means it's going to be very intense. Like they used to say in Nigeria, I go lose home training. You know, there's nothing like applying caution. You just let your spirit, you free yourself and you have fun, party wide and hard. That's what it means, Dirty December. So that's where the name itself comes from. It comes from partying dirty, and from there we call out Dirty December, spelled DETTY. So yeah, that's where it comes from. The origin, the origin of the time is unclear. Some people have claimed that the celebration started after the 2004 Calabar Carnival in south part of Nigeria, which was called Africa's biggest street party by Donald Duke, a former governor of Cross River State. According to Nigerian magazine Benin Niger and The Guardian, the term was coined and popularized by Nigerian singer Mr. Easy, alright, who used it as a hashtag for his concert in Lagos in 2016. Mr. Easy also went on to trademark the term. Dirty December is a term often used by members of the Nigeria diaspora who have recently returned home. These recent returnees are often nicknamed IJBs, an acronym standing for I Just Got Back. I just got back. It could be from here, the UK, from the US, from some other European countries, or from Australia. I just got back from outside of Nigeria or Africa, so let's party. I've gone through a lot of stress away from home, so I've come back home to have some fun, to party, to have it dirty this December. Right, that's the concept of Dirty December. Wonderful. It's just wish that I bet wonderful wishes in Nigeria for the festive period. Probably Lagos. Yeah, that's where you expect. No, he said no. Right, so that's just the concept. I decided to talk about this because so many non-Nigerian, non-Africans have asked me so much, what's Dirty December all about? Dirty December is just a festive party, festive period celebration, festive period event that is characterized by people returning to Africa from diaspora and having fun with their family and friends back home, partying hard. That's what Dirty December is. I don't know, maybe we can have one here in the UK for those of us who are remaining here, who are not going back home this time. Wonderful, he's not having it. He feels that UK is not just the right place for that, because the way we party in Nigeria and some other part of Africa is on another level compared to what we've witnessed or seen here. Yeah, but we just have to find a way to have fun also here in the UK, right? So that's just the beat I wish I've always wanted to share with the people about Dirty December. Okay, I believe you know one or two things about Dirty December now. Let's talk about this one briefly before we take another pause, because time fast paints a wonderful is looking at me and smiling. Your time is up, man. All right, this one, international Afrobeat star Burna Boy has offered to pay for the funerals of the children killed during Saturday night's mass shooting at a two-year-old birthday party in North Stockton. The shooting, which unfolded inside a crowded banquet hall on Lusaw Avenue, left four people dead, three of them children, and 13 others wounded. Authorities have called the attack targeted, though investigators have not identified anyone who may have been singled out for harm. No arrests have been announced as at the last time, we follow these we check for updates on these unfortunate incident. Now Burna Boy just some days ago offered to fund the funeral of these kids who had their life cut short, you know, in a gruesome way. Sad one there. The Burna Boy himself has been in the news, I don't know, maybe I'll say for the wrong or negative reasons lately. It's had a couple of concert or show cancelled in the US. This cancelled culture in US at the minute is Burna Boy is at the middle of the storm of that because of what happened at one of his recent show, where he asked one attendees to leave because she was found sleeping. And then from what we gather, the attendee was battling depression following the loss of a loved one. She was encouraged to come to the event to share up, but Burna Boy, who allegedly showed up late at the show, found her sleeping and asked her to be removed because to him it's an anomaly or kind of offense finding someone sleep in his concert. Because of that, the cancer culture went haywire and said they're gonna cancel Burna Boy. I don't know if that is really the only reason we've had some of his shows cancelled in the US, but trust me, if there's one person that I trust to bounce back even better than before, it's Burna Boy. And that's why we're going to enjoy something from Burna Boy after, not now, because we have no much time left. I can see the signal from my producer, wonderful. We just quickly have to go to talk sport right now. The World Cup for the draw for the 2026 FIFA World Cup has been made, and sad one, Nigeria not included. Nigeria will not be representing Africa. It's going to be a back-to-back World Cup qualification failure for Nigeria. They were in there in Qatar in 2022, and they will not be there in the US, Canada, and Mexico next year. Sad one, but we have some other African countries who we hope we do the continent proud. Now for the draw, with 9 African teams in the tournament: South Africa, Morocco, Ivory Coast, Tunisia, Egypt, Cape Verde, Senegal, Algeria, and Ghana. The continent faces a mixed bag of opportunities and daunting challenges in what promises to be the biggest World Cup ever staged. South Africa draw Mexico, South Korea in Group A. South Africa will compete in Group A alongside co-host Mexico, Asian powerhouse South Korea, and the winner of European Playoff D. Okay, and Bafana returning to the global stage with renewed confidence after recent improvement, faced a tough test against the Mexicans, a home advantage, and Korea's high tempo. The European playoff winner could further complicate their ambitions of advancing. You remember the World Cup opener in 2010 between South Africa and Mexico. We are going to have a repeat of that in Mexico come next year. Now for Morocco, Morocco are set for a blockbuster meeting with Brazil in Group C. Yeah, you remember Morocco did so well last time out in 2022, getting to the semi-finals. And this time around, their group against Brazil, Haiti, and Scotland. Dramatic one there for Scotland. They made it to the World Cup. And they will face an African side, Morocco, Haiti, and Brazil in Group C. In Group E, we have Ivory Coast, Germany, Croatia, and Ecuador. Tunisia in Group F against Lebanon and Japan, and European Playoff B winner. In Group G, Egypt will take on Belgium, Iran, and New Zealand. Cape Verde, who are debuting, will face Spain, Uruguay in Group H, and also Saudi Arabia. Senegal, we have a heavyweight duel with France. Remember the 2002 World Cup opener between Senegal and France. It was a great upset to the delight of Africans when Senegal, you know, against all odds, defeated the defending champions then France in the opening of the Korea-Japan 2002 World Cup. So they will renew hostilities this time around come next year. Wonderful is just asking me to leave. We have Algeria and Ghana as the other African country. For Algeria, they will be up against Argentina, Austria, and Jordan. Ghana will be up against England, Croatia, and Panama. Okay, that's the draw. No time to talk about other story. The AFCON is looming large. a lot of African countries have released their provisional squad, and they're making arrangement for the tournament which get underway, I think, on the 21st of this month in Morocco. We'll talk about this in our subsequent show, talking about the AFCON. But for now, we have no time left. It's just time for me to say bye on the show. Thank you so much, wonderful. And to you there for being part of our world today. We'll be back next week, Saturday at 4 p.m. on a fresh edition of Africa Weekly, live on Radio Africana. It could be Emmanuel Etim at the time, or myself. We'll find out. Someone else will be here. Someone will be here just to bring this show to your listening prayer. My name is Chris Okunua. I'll catch you some other time. And I'm leaving you with this one from Bonaboy. He called it love. If you love Bonaboy, it's time for you to stand up for him now. Catch you some other time. Bye.
By your side, if you walk a true fire, fire. Follow you, stand inside the fire. Now love me, I go love. Now love us, we go love. Who could believe you when the whole world is calling you a liar, liar? Now love me, I go love. Now love us, we go love. Now go to live your life to impress anybody, cause some people was by Satan. Now love me, I go love. Even though you love everybody, everybody no go feel love you. Turn my mind to my weapon. Fuck the world with the large condom. Anytime you vex someone, I don't like make you hear this song. Me and you no be Jesus. So now only who love us, we go love. Make sure that your mother no suffer. Just live your life, baba. Just keep them real and proper. Focus on better customers. Losing like child lower. My brother, search and you will find. It no matter if they're close to you. Never buy a dream if it's sold to you. Now who go stay by your side if you are a true fire, fire? Follow you, stand inside the fire. Now love me, I go love. Now love us, we go love. Who go believe you when the whole world is calling you a liar, liar? Now love me, I go love. Now love us, we go love.
That's what I thought before I took the ride. I burned my bridges, so I